Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Krednick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Corndale Church.
I love this place already.
Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life.
Yes, we do.
And today, we have a special guest, Ryan Meyer.
I love that interview voice. That's great. That's like that's Krednick's phone voice from 5 years ago right there.
Yeah.
There's a story at Corndale for our listeners that Mike, when he first served as my pastoral assistant, had a phone voice. And it was kind of like his voice would go up and off.
He like became a new person.
It was like a different person on the phone because he was trying to be real courteous and real warm.
It went higher.
Yeah, it went higher.
He'd talk normal, then all of a sudden he'd go,
"Hi, Corndale, this is Mike Krednick."
And we'd be like,
who is
here?
That guy?
Who just answered the phone?
So anyways, Ryan, welcome to the podcast.
They don't let me answer the phones anymore.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. As we mentioned last week, one of the fun things in our church is just we like our team. We like the people we work with, and we have a lot of fun together. And some of the newer folks to our team, we talked with Neil last week on the podcast. Ryan, you're also fairly new to the team, and wanted to spend sort of a more extended time just hearing your story and getting to know you for a couple reasons. One is so the listeners in our church have a little more context for your story. And so the listeners outside of our church can sort of enter into the story of how God shapes a leader and how he calls people to himself and how he moves people forward in sort of his calling on their life. And so I think for both folks inside Corndale and folks outside Corndale, these stories are just meaningful and helpful to help us worship God and give us a framework for how he works in our lives. So thanks for jumping in today. So let's start here. Again, we just filmed a short video with you not long ago in Corndale. So folks got to hear a little bit of your story. I know you're a Millard kid.
So from Omaha.
Mm-hmm. And I know your folks, know your mom and dad a little bit. Don't know them well, but know of them. Describe your upbringing a little bit for us.
Okay. I pretty much have that typical upbringing of like a Christian household. Like my parents were converted out of Catholicism and went to an evangelical church in Omaha. And so like we were raised up doing the Wednesday night youth group, going to church on Sunday, pretty much everything from like, hey, we don't participate in these activities, or like my dad decided not to drink just because he always said like, if I tell you not to drink, I don't want to drink, you know, and he had never really explained why. And so I definitely grew up going to church. I guess my upbringing could probably be summarized in the sense of like, probably like a lot of people assumed the gospel in my life, or like assumed I understood what the gospel meant. So like at church, I'd heard the sinner's prayer several times. I'd heard that like I was a guilty sinner and I needed to repent, but like the word repent to me probably just meant like say I'm sorry. And so like I saw other people, like in other family, like the way they repent is they go confess to a priest, or they like do something else, or they just have to, and mine was like continually rehearsing like the sinner's prayer, or continually like doing that, but never really experienced genuine change until like later in college.
All right, so Ryan, I know you were an athlete. You went to school to play sports, and you described there an encounter you had with some Christians, or specifically maybe one or two guys who were formative in sort of helping you understand the gospel and some things God was doing in your life. Sounds like you had an injury that sort of helped to sort of set some things in motion. Can you just tell us that story real briefly of just what was sort of the point at which you were converted? How did that come about?
Yeah, so I walked into college pretty much in the same state I had pretty much been all of my life. Like I would have classified myself as a Christian, went to church pretty regularly, or like, yeah, and attended like the same FCA youth events or whatever at my college campus. But I never really like, there was always a divide there. There was like separate worlds for me. There was like how I was at school. There was how I was on the football field. There was how I was at the party. There was how I was at church. And so like, I started to see guys on my football team that, like, in my opinion, were, like, just Bible thumpers or, like, kind of weird guys. I talked about Jesus, like, pretty confidently and pretty, like in a different way. And so they were, like, pretty intentional about, like, hey, man, you should come check this out, or, hey, you should come check out this Bible study, or, hey, you just want to hang out. And I was, like, And they didn't do it in like a cheesy way. Like they were on the football team. They did the same things, but there was just something kind of different. And so I kind of tried to avoid them truthfully at first. a couple guys specifically, but they were pretty, like I said, intentional. And so they just kind of kept up with me and were like, "Hey man, you should come check out this Bible study or just devotional or something." And I remember just kind of like being really like standoffish against them. And I think it's cause I was starting to get to a sense in my life where I was trying to figure out everything on my own. Like, is this worldview of Christianity like my parents? Is it mine? Or like, and so I started to become really skeptical of Christianity. And then in general, so I kind of stopped going to church, but these other guys were like, these weren't like Christians I had seen before. And so I finally said yes to like go into like a Bible study with them just because I had kind of seen how they had lived. And there was not really like a separate divide between like their Christian life and like their secular life or their regular life. So I was like first attracted to that. And then I actually like went to a study with them and I actually heard the gospel like outlined what it actually specifically means. And not only is it primary, but like it's primary in the sense that like, hey, it changes the way you actually live life and do life. And so it's really started to take root then.
So Ryan, if you, let's say you're talking right now to a high school kid, junior, senior, mm-hmm. who's kind of living the life you were. In other words, they're going to church, they're doing this stuff. It hasn't sunk in. They don't probably comprehend what the gospel really means, though they might be familiar with the language.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to help that kid understand that maybe you wish you, that would have helped you at that age go, mm-hmm. oh, I see that there's something different here.
I guess what I would say to a kid in that situation in the same spot I was in was like, would be specifically like, do you really understand what the gospel is? And like, not just necessarily like who Jesus was and what he did, like rehearsing the facts, but what does that mean for your life in general? So like, and can you prove that biblically? So like, if somebody asked me the gospel when I was 16, I probably would have like rehearsed the sinner's prayer, or told him like Jesus was the Son of God and he died for my sins. So I knew that, but I guess I really didn't like understand that, or I guess I kind of just believed what people had told me, maybe necessarily a pastor or like, or my dad or somebody, but I didn't really like know that truth on my own by like looking at the Bible. So like I would encourage even a 16-year-old to like seek that truth out on his own and like ask really deep questions or like hard questions, like maybe like things he's skeptical about. Cause I never really felt like there was a framework for that even in my household or like even in the church I grew up. Like if you were a skeptic, you were a non-Christian and like you probably like, I didn't really feel like that was welcome or like that there was necessarily like an open field for people to like work through, or it was like, hey, this is what it is. If you're not a part of this, you're going to hell.
So or make like, some room for some questions and some
yeah.
debate and a safety net for that.
You used this phrase when you were telling that story that people sort of assumed the gospel with you. And how, what is it that can keep us from doing that? Because I think I see people do that in gospel community all the time, too. Just
sure.
sort of like, well, I'm sure everybody in the room's on the same page. I'm like, nah, I'm not sure we are.
Not
you know?
Sure.
yeah.
I think for me, like when I realized that I had probably assumed the gospel in my own life is when people were like, hey, there should be like a specific point in your life where like something's different or you used to see something this way. Or you used to not see sin at all in this area, and now you totally see it differently. So, like, even if you didn't have, like, this sinful pattern of life, like, for me, like, I dealt with a little bit of drugs and alcohol and sexual sin. So then, and then I didn't have these cravings anymore. So obviously there was this change, right? But even in an awareness sense, like, asking people, like, have you experienced change or a different in wanting and desire? So, like, do you desire things that are godly? Yeah, you're still struggling in these and you're giving into them like temptation, but like has the desire first changed? And then like the next thing I would just probably like ask and like specifically is like, I just don't feel like there was a big area or an open area for me to ask questions and doubts. Like especially in my, and I think my parents did a really good job for like what they understood at the time. Like my parents have really matured in understanding like the gospel and how it actually affects every single decision. But like, yeah, there just wasn't much like room for like working that out.
So really, I hear you describing two things. One, I hear you describing the importance of space, inquiry, question asking, pursuit. That's clear. And I also hear you describing the reality of fruitfulness, like that a good tree bears good fruit. And so that if I believe the gospel, there should be some tangible results, some tangible evidence in my life that something's changed. That might be desires, convictions, values, behaviors, but the gospel is going to make a difference. And so if it hasn't made any difference, it's probably a good indication that I need to step back and ask, have I really believed the gospel? Have I really embraced the Lord Jesus?
Yeah, I definitely have heard that for the first time in college. Like, hey, there's a difference between believing just a fact and then like believing that like something's true and then acting upon that belief, like because of the belief. So like I remember sitting in a sermon one time and hearing this guy, like sitting in church and hearing this sermon, and this guy was like, you know, there's a belief, but like a difference in your belief, but like in the sense that you believe that chair will hold you, and then believing that chair will hold you and then sitting in it and continually rocking back and forth in it. And it really took shape for me. And he like explained the passage in James where it says like faith without deeds is dead. And he was like, look at your life, just be real. Like compare it to the biblical rubric. If it matched up your faith in Jesus, like if you had to be based on works, would you be classified like as a Christian? And I was like, I'm no different than the guy in the bar on Saturday night. And like, other than the fact that like I'm up early on Sunday, more tired than he is. So that got really real for me. And I think I erred almost on like a little bit of legalism right when I came to faith in Christ. Cause I was like, dude, all these people claim to be Christians and they're not. And so I was really like kind of upset about it. Like all these people have been misled. And then I kind of started to get away from like just resting in the grace that, you know, Jesus had already accomplished and given to me. So,
yeah, talk about that a little bit more. I remember you saying in a different conversation that when you became a Christian, you felt like you needed to share this grace, this good news with people who had been misled.
Yeah. So I guess like right from the get go, like after I started to see like things in my life that were sinful, I started to see other guys that classified themselves as Christians in the same stance I was in, like attending church with me, attending FCA or ministries, or like even like checking the box on Facebook that says Christian. But like we were living totally different lives, especially now that I came to like saving faith in Jesus. And like one, it started like a prideful sense. I was like, you're hurting the reputation of Christians. But then also I was like, I never knew. No one ever I felt like no one had ever really told me the truth, the gospel, that like, hey, it should change your life. Like it shouldn't just change like what you do on Sunday morning or like sometimes what you do with your money, or like it should change like how you think about things. And so, yeah, that really started to affect me because I was like, if I know this truth, it's pretty immature of me and kind of selfish of me not to like share this truth if I really believe this to be truth. Like, I don't know, almost in like a scary standpoint, not like hell and brimstone, but like if I really believe this is true, that people who don't know Jesus genuinely will perish, like my heart should really like break for them to know the truth. So I wasn't like standing on the corner with like a billboard saying like repent, but like I was pretty intentional about like conversations with people or like, why don't you do this anymore? So.
As I understand it, and I've met, you know, some of your friends from college and whatnot, it seems like you were you got involved in a church ministry that was very intentional about discipleship and just had a good, faithful sort of process of walking people toward maturity in Christ. Can you talk about that a little bit and just what the intentionality that you experienced of discipleship? How did that help shape and form you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually really blessed. That weird Bible thumper guy actually turned out to be like my future pastor of a church plant in the town of Missouri where I went to school. And so he was actually the chaplain as the chaplain of the football team, in not a religious standpoint. It was like he pretty much led devotionals and stuff. It wasn't like a hierarchy role or anything like that. But anyways, he was like very intentional about discipleship in the sense of like, he wasn't one of those guys that like would send you a Bible verse and then pat you on the back and then like meet up for coffee like once a month. He was like, hey dude, let's hang out, do all of life. And then like, let's explore your deepest like struggles, strengths and like doubts about Christianity. And then like, he was pretty honest, like if he didn't know the answer either. So he really encouraged me, like, dude, if like you want to grow in Jesus, like you need to be fully open about your doubts and your struggles. But then also, man, he was like, every time we did something, like if it was specifically like for church or like not, like we were on mission is pretty much how he portrayed it. And a couple of these other guys portrayed it. So like we'd still go to parties as, you know, born again believers on the football team, you know, like 21, 22 years old. We'd go to the same parties. We'd go to the same places and eat and have a beer. But like we'd go in with a different mindset.
Ryan, you seem like a disciplined guy. Were you disciplined prior to being a Christian, like football field and sports and stuff like that?
I kind of like to answer that question, like how you said, like people answer, like how are that guy's a really angry drunk, or that guy's like a really angry steroid user. Like you hear about that, like, but mostly those drugs or alcohol just intensifies a personality. So like,
sure.
I would say like the gospel is kind of like that for me. So like I was decently disciplined. Like I decently, I was pretty good at academics, good at sports, but like I really grew in discipline when I like started to like be discipled and understand, like, I don't know, I started to see the backbone of like most of the disciplines we even have come from a biblical perspective and biblical discipline. So I feel like they really like were illuminated and intensified. So like I've grown in discipline because of that.
Ryan, what's your two, give me two foundational building blocks of discipleship. So you're meeting with a brand new Christian, or if you think back to when you were a brand new Christian, what are the one or two things you're just like, man, I always want to sort of do this or start here or impart this or build this into someone's life?
Yeah, I think there's got to be, number one, there's got to be like a trust built, especially for like just as a male in general to open up to somebody about anything. I think as males, we're more like hesitant to talk about fears or talk about worldviews. I've seen this, and honestly, just like with my brother, like I don't think there's any other person he actually opens up about anything other than necessarily me. One, maybe because there's that brotherhood, but like he has that trust. And then other guys I've discipled, like, or tried to disciple, like if we're not like, if there's not like a decently sized friendship or like trust or accountability or at least like looking up to in, they're probably not going to benefit from the relationship. And then probably the other thing I would say is, I don't know, just be genuine and like intentional about it. Like I've tried to be discipled by several guys who were like, it was like flaky and not genuine, or they tried to tell me an answer they really didn't know the answer to. But like the most beneficial relationships I've had have been guys who have actually been really transparent. Like, hey dude, me and my wife are actually really struggling in this sense. So like, we're actually seeking counsel in this area. So I'm probably not the best to disciple you in this area, but like, here's what the Bible says about it. Here's some good resources. And here's two people I go meet with. So like a guy that's pretty like open and transparent would probably be, I don't know. I've always benefited from hearing other people's struggles and their growths and how they've like, how the gospel has shaped and formed them versus like things that they're already awesome at. If that makes sense.
Well, that means you'll do well around here then. Cause we're, we're pretty open book about all of the sin struggles around here, in a healthy, dynamic way so that growth can come and formation can come. Ryan, what are you most excited about now that you're here? You've been through a couple different jobs now. Your feet are on the ground here in Omaha. You've been here a few weeks, months. And what are you the most excited about for as we head into the fall of 2016?
Man, I'm just really excited to like actually get into the normal like routine of things of Coram Deo. Like we haven't even been able to actually like attend a normal GC and get invested into like relationships or like necessarily a community of discipleship from like even our marriage and stuff. So like we're really excited just to dive into that. And then some of the things we're starting in the fall with Mercy Ministry and some other things that we're going to be kind of like mentoring, discipling through, I'm really excited for too. So yeah.
Brian, thanks for coming on and sharing your story. Appreciate your transparency, and excited about having you on the team. Excited about seeing when the Lord continue to grow you as a leader.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. We invite you to join us next Wednesday for another Wednesday conversation.